Well, I want to thank you for the birthday greetings, and Jeff and Lori for the cowskin rug. I love it. It's in my study at the house. It looks great. And help me get a bearskin rug for my wife here in a few months when her birthday comes up. I'll just complete the whole thing. Northwood, I'm proud of you. Let me just brag on you just a second. We had 1,200 people plus, minus, I don't know, but the place was full. The Muslims were moved. The response has been incredible. I'm just proud of you. Guys, let me tell you something. If we don't love people, we're talking about being bold. Why are they ever going to listen to our gospel? We learned that in Vietnam. We've learned it around the world. Now, many of you know that as soon as I couldn't even wait for the event to be over. I had to get on a plane and fly to Spain where the UN sends me over there, and it's this group of 30 in the think tank. Well, at this time, there were several other people that they also invited, about 50. And when I got there, by the time I got there, you know, travel time and so forth, it had been posted on the internet, the service here. And when I walked into the room where they all were, immediately I was mobbed, because 20 of these people I didn't know, that's Bob Roberts. And what they asked me, not Bob Roberts, what they were asking is, you're the church that had all the Muslims. Would you listen to me, guys? I didn't say yes, so don't freak out on me. We were asked by at least 5 cities if we would be willing to travel to major global cities around the world by many of these that were Islamic leaders and bring Muslims and Christians together. Now, is that just freaky or what? I mean, that's just... And we don't have the money for that. God will have to provide it. Maybe those governments will. I don't know. But you just can't imagine. Britain's premier diplomat was there. He's an atheist. And he wanted to talk. He said, I never in a million years thought there would be an evangelical church that would ever do anything like this. He comes to the States frequently to meet with all of our leaders. He's coming to our church. He says, I'm not going to be a Christian. You can't convert me. I said, well, you're coming to Texas. Good luck. But it was incredible. With him was one of the most, I don't know, some big dog business guy. And he too is an atheist. And he lost his family. I got to tell you about this, Nikki. I keep forgetting. He lost his whole family in the tsunami. And we had some incredible conversations about God. And he's fascinated. He even asked if he could go with us on one of our trips. And I grinned and I said, well, heck, man, if you want to finance it, you just pick your trip. But you're making a difference. That's not the Bob story. That's the Northwood story. You understand that? I'm not a speaker. I'm not a preacher. I mean, I speak and I preach, but it's what you do. It's what you do. And young people, what an opportunity you have for the world that you live in. It's who we are, and it's what matters. I want us to conclude this Bold as Love series today, and we're going to talk about cells, T-Life cells, Transformation Life cells. Well, why are we going to talk more about Muslims or Buddhists or atheists or somewhere else? Because God has a group he wants you to reach. Did you hear me? God's got a group he wants you to reach. And it may not be the Muslims. Our church is called to Vietnam, but there may be somebody else God's put on your heart. Not Vietnam. It's not Mexico. It may not even be Haltom City. How many of you have this stirring in your soul? There's something, if you had all the money and all the time, you would do it. You just don't know how, who, and what to put together. How many of you fit into that category? Now, I want you to listen to me. We're going to talk about how to do that. And it's not that hard. You do it by starting a cell around it. That's it. See, God's called you, and you're thinking about the project, but you've forgotten the body. You forgot the team. You forgot the most important part. Well, thank God he called you, but you are not enough. You need people. And he is equipped and gifted you to do whatever it is that he has called you to do. And that's what this church is about. We're going to release you. We always have. We're not holding on to you. If God's called you to do it, do it. Northwood never made a decision to work in the Middle East. That's some weird doors God has opened for me. Northwood doesn't even fund that. By the way, just for what it's worth, Northwood doesn't even fund the majority of my travel, if even 10%, if that much. Now, if we had the money, great. It'd certainly be worthwhile to get to go tell people about Jesus that the world never hears. But God's called you to something, and he put us together as a body. See, we've got this false understanding. Sales, it's about me, it's about mine, it's about build me up, it's about be my buddy, it's about be my friends, it's about hang in there. And that's why sales don't multiply, because we want friends. God wants a family, and all his kids are in the family business. And he sends us out to go to the ends of the earth and to different kinds of people that are neglecting and hurting. And he says, I want you to take my kingdom there. That's how you do it. So there are three core things that make up the DNA of cells. Three core things that make up the DNA of cells. And you got to get all three. Here it is. And I'm going to give it to you in this little saying. With us, together, multiplying. With us, together, multiplying. Who's the with us part? Jesus. God with us, Emmanuel. Jesus in the flesh. With us, together, multiplying. Say that with me. With us, together, multiplying. Say it again. With us, together, multiplying. Louder. With us, together, multiplying. That's the DNA of the cell. First part, with us, God with us. What I love telling guys when they visit our cell for the first time, you've not just come to a Bible study. You've not just come to a prayer time. You've not just come to a sharing time. We are the body of Christ, and Jesus is going to be present right in the middle of this room. He's leading the meeting. See, the reason some of you don't have power in your cells or power in your groups is because somebody's teaching a lesson for a whole hour. God wants us to experience the presence of body of Christ when we come together. With us. God, with us. Emmanuel, that's the message. That's the story. With us. When we meet, Jesus shows up. It's Jesus in the presence. If you could go do a Bible study for an hour, or you could meet in a cell group where Jesus was present, everybody could sense him. He was directing that group. What would you rather be in? A Bible study or somewhere where Jesus is? Guys, go buy commentaries. You can do Bible studies all your life. It'll just make you smart and argue more with people. I'm telling you. God with us. See, we teach the church has three expressions. There's the cell, there's the congregation, and there's the globe. And most churches focus on the congregation. And when they focus on the congregation, really all they focus on is the worship service. And so for the most part, most churches are just a worship service. That's it. It's more than that. First, the church is the cell. It's the house. It's the unit. It's those 3 to 12 people that come together to experience the body of Christ. In this setting, only a few of us use our gifts. But when we come together in the cells, we all have spiritual gifts. We all have value. We're all supposed to be a part of that because Jesus is present, and it takes all of those gifts present, operating, active for Christ to do in our life what he wants to do. So it's the cell. You can halfway get by without worshiping. I'm not saying you're going to be a healthy Christian, but you can get by without it. You can get by without not connecting with the global church. You shouldn't. You need all three. But you cannot survive without being part of a cell. And the reason some of you can come to this worship service and you're in such spiritual defeat and your life is strung out with addictions is because you have no one that's holding you accountable at all. You're not in community. So you can put on your nice clothes, sit here, sing song, clap your hands, raise your hands, cry a little bit, throw a little bit of chump change in the offering plate, go home and never be changed. God's got more than that. And when those cells are functioning around what God has called them to do in the presence of Christ, and then they come together and we worship together, it's powerful. It's powerful. We ought to be equipping you, teaching you about sharing your faith like we did this last month, teaching you about worship like we're going to do this next month. And then we connect with the global church. And a lot of people don't understand that. They think the global church is paying somebody to go be missionaries around the world. No, that's just a ministry. Listen to me. Missions is not the end. It's only a ministry. The Great Commission is the end, not the missionary, not the missions program, not the missions organization. See, God has called us to be connected with the global church, not so that we can help them out, but so we can be on the fringes of what God is doing. You want to know what God is doing? Look on the fringes of the church. China and India are defining what the church is like today globally more than anyone else. We've got to learn from them. So it's with us together. Now, when we say together, what does that mean? With us together, Ephesians 4, 11 through 13 makes it real clear. What does it say? Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. There were apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, which are basically the five ministries of the church. If you recognize all of those gifts, every ministry a church needs to have to be healthy is now present. So it's not, well, I don't know if I want to get into that or not. Do you think teaching matters? Does teaching matter? Does God want you to be ignorant? No. Paul writes on several occasions, I would not have you to be ignorant. Does pastoral ministry matter? People are hurting. Does it matter? I've got a very close relative going through a horrible time right now. There's been some addiction in their life, in their world. The wheels are coming off, and my heart is heavy this morning. They're in the thick of it, and I'm thinking about them, and I'm praying for them. And I got a text right before I preached in the last service. And it was from my old youth pastor when I was a 13-year-old guy. And he said, Bob, I'm just praying for you today. I hadn't heard from that guy in years. We all need pastoral ministry. We need to be encouraged. Does it matter to share the gospel? I think so. Does it matter to hear from God? And of course so. To get counsel and hear what God is saying? Does it matter to have a vision? I think so. So the question that we have to ask with these, when you think about the apostolic, is what global mission does God have for you and why? See, I just saw tons of hands go up saying God is calling you to something. That's the ministry. That's the call on the cell. The prophetic. What is God saying to us? What is he saying right now? What is he teaching us? Northwood has never been a static church. We first learned about the kingdom, and then we learned about the world, and we learned about, and I can just go down the list of, and we're continuing to learn. And the day that we stop learning and we just function a bunch of programs and processes will be the day that we may grow a big church, but it's not the day that the freshness of God's Spirit is going to be present. Evangelism. Who needs the kingdom? What is the message that they need? The pastor. How can we love one another? Care for one another. All of these things matter. So with us together, multiplying. I mean, it's in Genesis 1. Let us be fruitful and multiply. We've been made in the image of God. Creativity does not sit still. God expects us to multiply. The reason most sales don't multiply is they're buddy systems. They're not mission systems. They've not been called to touch the community. Let me tell you something. When you come together on the basis of mission, you'll have buddy. You'll get close to one another, but your focus is on the Lordship of Christ, fulfilling what he's called you to do. So you're going to do everything. You come together just based on camaraderie and being close and having some buddies, you'll probably never fulfill mission, and sooner or later, that camaraderie will fall apart. It's intuitive. Read the book. Two Burlington Northern executives wrote it, The Wisdom of Teams. They said the best way to make a team is for the team to focus on something that's beyond themselves. It's not all these team-building exercises. They multiply. I've been reading John 15 this week, and it's interesting to me what Jesus says. First, he says, bear fruit, bear more fruit, bear much fruit. He goes so far as to say, if we don't bear fruit, we're not his. It's profound. He says, gather up. Those are just limbs that are dry. They need to be burned. That's pretty heavy. I mean, he's literally saying, if you're mine, you're going to bear fruit. And it makes sense because he starts out in John 15, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You follow me? So it's not us bearing fruit, it's us being connected to the vine, and you can't stop bearing. It's going to happen. Together, presence of Christ. With us. With us, the presence of Christ. Together. With those five key ministries multiply. So God's called you to some of that. What has he called you to do? Omar, would you come? And those of you that Omar is going to be interviewing you, I want you to see a practical example of what this looks like right here, right now. Come on down forward.
You know, Bob, I was really looking at John 15 as we have our cell leaders come on up. Just if you guys can just, maybe we can just, yeah, that's good. Just spread out a little bit. About how Jesus says, what is Fletch doing? I don't know what Fletch is doing here, man. Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. There's, even in John 15, as a pastor mentioned that verse, I was meditating on that verse, and the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you know, son, without the body, you can't do nothing. But with the body, you can do amazing things. If you're connected to me, see, I'm connected to my body. And that's what we're talking about, the life of the body of Christ. And without the body, you cannot do anything. But with the body, you can do amazing things. What we have this morning is just kind of a reflection of people who said, God, I want to have a passion for something. I want to create a community around that passion. And I want to serve you with that passion. So I want to ask here, Joe, Don, and Mary Lee, what kind of cell is God calling you to?
Mary Lee and I are going to start a marriage cell. We are training right now with a group of folks that are preparing to do the follow-up after the marriage conference. So we're going to begin learning how to do marriage.
You also have a passion for men?
Yes. So my passion is about men, and men struggle with the most important earthly relationship they've got. That's with their wives. So we're going to work on strengthening the marriage.
Hi, I'm on the multi-faith team, and we would absolutely love to be able to see people in our church family springing up and saying, well, we'd really like to lead a multi-faith cell, which is really actually the best thing for us to do is we can worship around the presence of God together, and that's really attractive. Just being with God is attractive to other people, and what a great way for us to be able to reach out to people of other and no faith.
I lead a cell of women, and we are all young women in our 30s, because 50 is the new 30, right? And so most of us have raised our children, and so now we are together encouraging each other as we are embracing our second calling. And one thing that brings us all such joy and brings us together, really, is that we are ministering to a group of refugee women at Ladera. And we do that once a month, and sometimes we even do it without a translator, and we don't speak their language.
Josh. I lead a men's cell. I have a passion and desire just to see men grow to be who they're designed to be by God.
Jenny?
God is calling me to start a women's group at my work, and I am passionate about that because I love the women that I work with.
So you're starting a cell in your workplace.
Yes. Amen.
Fletch? I don't know what.
So can you tell what my passion is? So when I heard about our vision for cells and starting cells based on passions or life circumstances, God laid it on my heart to start a cell that is focused on cycling. So I'm doing just that, starting a men's cell where we're going to use cycling as a tool to reach out into and to make a difference in our community, doing anything from doing charity rides, the Tour de Cure, Ride for Refuge, MS-150. We're going to do repairs, tune-ups for kids that need it in different communities throughout North Tarrant County. And we'll also put together or rebuild old bikes and get them in the hands of refugee kids that need bikes. So, and Bob, you got a sweet Serrata bike in your garage. You need to come join us.
Everybody.
Me and my wife, Anna, have a family or married couple cell, and we do, we're real close with our cell members. This past year, we were able to minister to Rick and Ruby at the hospital, and it was funny to have the people at the hospital ask us, well, who are y'all? And, well, y'all from Northwood. I said, no, we are Northwood. And they just didn't get that. And then we also were able to go to Billy and Christy's wedding out about an hour and a half out of Dallas. And as we all sat there, they were asking us again, who are y'all? And I said, we are Northwood. And it's just the way God works through us. It's as we go.
Our cell is actually on an incarnational mission. We're basically going out like Christ did for us, and we are pouring ourselves out into the community and emptying our unconditional love into the area, and we're focusing on Haltom City. We've been doing the Senior Center for a couple years now. We've been serving or coordinating the lunches there, and really just found it to be really fulfilling and joyful, and we really liked it. And we've been doing it for about a year and a half and didn't even realize that right across the street was a baseball field. Couldn't see it. It was so overgrown. It was just in terrible condition. So we said, well, what else can we do? Let's look at the baseball field. So we're going to start cleaning up that baseball field, and we're going to get it ready so that for the summer we can start offering free camps and clinics to the kids in the area, and that's girls and boys. And our first work session starts this next Saturday there. We're actually having a few former Major League players are going to show up. We've got Rangers, the Rangers mascot captain is coming. We've got a lot of things that are happening there to be it. And we're also going to feed the neighborhood. Our purpose and mission is to really just show unconditional love to that community and build tangible relationships with broken people that we're broken ourselves, and we're going to be broken together and serve together.
Wow, let's give them a hand. Thank you, guys. These are all cell leaders. I wanted to give you kind of a reflection of what we're talking about as God begins to capture our heart around our passion. And we're really working on this, that God has called all of us, has given us a calling and a passion inside of us. And we're saying, hey, pursue your passion and build a community around your passion. Because all it is building the DNA of the cell. You heard Bob talk about the DNA, and it's simple. It's so simple, but so powerful. One, Jesus among us. He promised us, where two or three gather in my name, there I am among you. Listen, if Jesus shows up, things will change. Don't you agree? He promised to be among us. He said, all you have to do is, if two or three gather in my name, my promise to you is I will show up and be among you. So listen, to start a cell, all you need is two or three. It's really foundational. That's the essence of it, Christ among us. And then to practice these five things, if you heard these testimonies, they all answer these questions like, what is your call? What has God called us to do as a group? That's the apostolic question. What is he speaking to us today? As we gather, we hear the voice of God. What is he saying to us as a group? Third, how can we love one another? Jesus is always teaching us how to love one another more. That's the pastor. The teaching is, what is God teaching us together? Through his word, what you heard Sunday, what is he teaching us as a group? And last, who is God working on in our circle of influence? Who might God be reaching out to in our circle so that we can focus and see people come to know Christ? Jesus says, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his mission statement. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. So I'm challenging you this morning, church, to think differently about groups or cells. I know we've talked about it. And cells is just a name we use. It's really our small groups. We call them T-Life cells, Transform Life groups. So I want to challenge all of us to think outside the box. What is God calling you? You've heard some examples. You've seen some examples of some people that says, hey, this is my passion. I want to build a group around it. And so God is really saying, guys, think outside the box. Be creative. Reach out with your passion. Just make sure you have the DNA in it. Make sure that I'm among you. Make sure that I'm expressing my ministries through you. And make sure you reach out and be fruitful and multiply. And so I'm going to challenge you. We have, if you don't belong to a cell and you want to connect to one, we have a table outside. You can sign up if you'd like to join one. But I want to challenge you today to start one. That's my challenge to you. Start one. Ask the Lord, Lord, what have you called me to do? All you need is two. You heard Jenny talk about our workplace. You know, all she needs is another person, two to agree in that workplace to see God manifest himself powerfully. Because he sent his disciples two by two in cities. Go, two by two. And all you need is two to invite the presence of God. And when he shows up, he'll change your workplace. He'll change where you work. He'll change your home. He'll change the baseball field. You'll hear testimonies after testimonies about this baseball field. We believe it. In your hand, you were handed a cell training schedule. And I want you to look at it. We have four cycles. There's only three classes. We're going to give you just a basic DNA of that cell. What I want is for every cell to have the DNA. So what makes us different? These three things. We'll have three trainings, and we have four cycles. You can look at the dates. The first one begins February 10th. That's our first of the first cycle. And I want to encourage you to hear from God and to say, Lord, use me this year. I want to do something this year. What do you call me to do, and how can I build a community of believers around that passion? Amen.